minuter, okay? Isaac, you can put up that first slide. We have been working through over the last number of weeks a series called Identity and Destiny. We had an opening week, then a couple of weeks ago, Bruce spoke on, as it relates to identity and destiny, what does it look like to have identity as a son, as a daughter of the King? Last week, I spoke on the topic of ambassadors, that we are, according to Scripture, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And that in that place, we don't speak our words, but as ambassadors who go into nations, they speak the words of their leader, or they speak on behalf of their sovereign. And as ambassadors, we go into the nations, into the world, speaking the message that Jesus has given us. And today, I want to go real practical and deconstruct something, and it's all in regards to the topic of work. And in that, do we want to be in the place of what, move from the place, rather, of what makes us go to work as opposed to being workers? Over the last generation or two, maybe the last generation or so, something has changed in our society and into the church as it relates to work. Not about the necessity of work, but rather maybe about the priority of work, perhaps the value that gets placed on work, maybe the importance of work. That's kind of changed a little bit over the last couple of generations. And now what I'm not saying is, have you ever heard this before? I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. Have you ever heard that before? Or, you know, I've taught this myself. You know, there's a structure to things. And in that structure, it's God first and family and second and friends and third and hobbies or connections and relationships. And then as we kind of go down to the bottom, we get to work. And or if you ever heard this, you know, you've all heard this. You know, you've never heard a guy on his deathbed saying, "I wish I would have worked more." You know, that kind of idea. I'm not suggesting that these statements aren't true, but I wonder as a result, we can end up underappreciating and undervaluing or devaluing the significance of work and what God says about work. Men's Fraternity, we went through a whole series on this. We called it, it was a series called Winning at Home and at Work. And I want to speak a little bit from that because most men actually, and women too, but most men define themselves by what they do. We're wired for action. Men are wired for action especially. We're performance driven. It's part of our masculine DNA. Somebody said this, I don't know, I'll speak it out to you. When a man stops working, he starts dying. It's quite a statement. Our career is probably the most one of the most influential things that reflects on the quality of our life. What does the Bible say about work? What does the Word of God say about work? Do you know that there is more in the Bible about work than there is about family? Not to say that, you know, work trumps family, but in terms of the words of Scripture, there is more about work than there is about family. Listen to this. A man's sense of work, or a woman's sense of work, and their sense of well-being are best friends. Can I say that again? A person's sense of work and sense of well-being are best friends. They walk together throughout life. And so there has been a change. You know, 50 to 60% of our waking hours are spent either at work or even to a greater degree thinking about work. So here's the question. Do you think God values your work? If it's what you do with 50 to 60% of your waking hours, do you think it's important to Him what you do and your job and what it is? I would suggest that it really is. Now, in previous generations, there wasn't really much as much to this as there is now. Because the reality is that if your dad swung a hammer, you were going to swing a hammer too. because his dad did, and his dad did, and his dad did, and his dad did. If your dad was a blacksmith, you were going to be a blacksmith, and it went on for generation after generation. Today's different. People are finding deeper meaning and purpose in work is becoming a more important factor for people more than ever before in choosing a life and a career. Today, people want more than a job, they want purpose. Do you know what one of the fastest growing, I don't know if anybody here has an MBA, Master's in Business Administration, but today, one of the main areas, the fastest growing segment of people pursuing MBAs, pursuing Master's of Business Administration, is in the area of nonprofits. Why is that? Because they're looking not just for the paycheck, they're looking for purpose. They're looking for something more. What causes Andrew and Terry Bandman to sell lock, stock, and barrel and move over across the world to bug-infested Uganda? A call from God, but what else? A seeking of greater purpose in their lives. Now, that's not to say that that's for everyone. I don't suggest that at all. But what I'm saying is can we be responsible to what God is calling us to do? So when we open up our Bibles, what does it say? What do we find? If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but if you're to open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, what do we see right off the bat God doing? What do we see him doing? He's working. And do you know that one of the very first things that he does is he actually gives Adam a job. He gives him a job. What was his job? What was the first job ever? He was a gardener. Adam was a gardener. He even had a job description. Cultivate this garden. Keep the garden. Protect the garden. He had this job. He even had a benefit package. Do you know that? They did profit sharing. There was profit sharing. It was like, you tend this garden, and then the profit share is that you can actually take some of the fruit from the garden and eat it. Don't eat that one, but you can eat the rest. Profit sharing. There was even an expansion plan. Look, we're going to double your employees within one, you know, within a moment here, within a day. We're going to double things up. Work is important to God. We're coming into the Easter season. What do we talk about? The work of Christ on the cross. Romans 8:28, we like to quote that. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. A.W. Tozer said, there must be a work of God before we are free. And when God finished after those days, he rested, and then what did he say about his work? It's good. This is good. So when we think about work, sometimes our perceptions about it can be a little wrong. We're going to move on to another slide, but it brings us to this fundamental question. What's behind why we go to work? Why do you work? Why do people work? 7 reasons. You want to hear them? Here they are. We're going to move up the slide here. Here we go. The number one reason why people work is because I got to work. I want to put bread on the table. How many people here realize my son, Zach, he went from being a young man. It was a good, you know, sometimes it's this reality jumping off the cliff moment where you can go all the way through school and maybe as a parent you could send your child off to university and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're not paying the bills anymore, right? He got to work. For many, it's more gradual. Certainly in our societies today, teenagers more than ever before are getting jobs and they're kind of working. Zach's first job was at Tim Hortons and he worked there. My first job, I've talked about that before, busboy, Sparta's Pizza, $3 an hour. I worked like a dog. But it was good, right? You learn the value. We need, you know, and then for Zach, he goes on to another job and now he's working on cell towers and making some money. Our son Ben, Luke's here this morning. I called Luke and I said, Luke, I got a boy. He's young and strong, inexperienced. Can he mow lawns for you? And Luke, you know, and his company, Mow Victoria, said, yes, he can. And he got his first job, and it was a good thing. But for many of us, we work because we got to work, right? Well, the second reason is this. It's at the very bottom line, and many of us are at that place. The second one is this. The reason why we work is because we need to meet the needs of our family, both men and women, right, in today's society. They need to meet the needs of the family. There's a strong sense of responsibility. Anybody here remember that movie Cinderella Man? It was a boxing movie that came out with Russell Crowe. And for him, he was a boxer. That's how he supported his family. And then in a match, he broke his hand and he wasn't able to box anymore. And so he had to go onto the shipyards, but he had this broken hand. And the last thing that he wanted to see, for his foreman to see, was that he was working with a broken hand, because there was 20 other guys that wanted that job. And so even though he was in excruciating pain, every day he was going on there and putting those hooks into those big, you know, 1,500-pound bags of grain and throwing them up, because he needed to work. There was something very fundamental and foundational about him working. Moving up the scale a little bit, one of the reasons why we work, and this is a real reason, is because we desire for a different standard of living. We work because we want a higher standard or a standard of living. Now, sometimes we talk often about this being the trap, right? You know, that can be the trap where, but it is a dream, right? It is something. We don't want it to become the place where it becomes all about bigger cars and bigger houses and nicer trips and, you know, that kind of thing. But the reason why we work is that we have a different standard that we want to achieve to. Number four, things start to change a little bit on this scale as we move up the scale of work. And that is this. We want to accomplish something that is meaningful to us. We want to do something that is meaningful. Teddy Roosevelt said this, "The best prize that this life has to offer is to work hard at work worth doing." There was a study done by a university. Here's what happened. They said, they hired these, we're going to pay you, a number of years ago now, we're going to pay you $7 an hour. Do you want to be part of our study? And they said, sure. And they brought them out to a field, and they had like these 20 workers. They put a shovel in their hands, and they said, okay, start digging a hole. And so away they went, and they just started digging this hole all morning. They were digging the hole. Then they took their lunch break, and they went back to them, and they said, okay, now, fill in the hole. What? We just dug it. Just fill in the hole. You're part of our study. And so they went back there and they filled in that hole. They said, report back tomorrow. You're not making $7 an hour. Tomorrow you make $14 an hour. Virtually everybody came back, but not everybody. They got out there, they put shovels in their hand, and they said, dig a hole. And they're like, what? They said, just start digging this hole. Well, we just dug that hole. The ground's soft. I don't care. We're going to go a little deeper today. And they dug the hole. They waited till lunch. Guess what they said after lunch? Fill the hole. And they said, tomorrow, $28 an hour. Come back. We got a job for you. Now there was a lot less. They came back. Guess what they had to do? Dig a hole. Fill in the hole. The next day they said, $56 an hour. There was just a few. You know why? Because it didn't matter how much they were making. At that point, they were like, what's the point to this? There's no purpose. And in work, there's something significant about us answering the question, is what I'm doing of value? Is there purpose in what I'm doing? And if we can't answer the purpose question, oftentimes we're looking for something else. But at this phase of work, it moves from not just the external motivators, but we begin to move inward a little bit. This is also where the dividing line comes in as it relates to work. There's a line, and this line says this. We move from the place as it relates to work of what's in it for me, what's in it for my family, what's in it for the money, what's in it for my own job satisfaction. Now it takes on a different level. It moves to a different plane. And that is, I want to be able to work where I can help and where I can serve. That's really what I want to be about. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to serve people. On from there, it goes up to this. I want to be able to earn money so I can actually begin to seed into things. I want to be able to make income so I can support things. I want to be able to give it away. I want to be able to support missionaries or give to charity or just be able to make sure that I can give things away and support things. One of the things that is a misconception is that only the ultra wealthy can do this. Only the Warren Buffetts, only the Bill Gates, you know, who give away, you know, who are on record, we're going to give away like 90% or 98% or whatever of what we've made. The misconception is only they can be involved at that level. That's not the case at all. We can cultivate generosity right from the early days and have a great deal of satisfaction in knowing that we're earning income and we're also supporting and giving it away, giving to people. And finally, in this, well, let me read this story, actually. There was stories told one day of a beggar by the roadside asks for alms from Alexander the Great as he passed by. The man was poor and wretched and had no claim upon asking for anything from Alexander. He had no right to even lift his hand, yet the emperor threw him several gold coins. This courtier who was with Alexander the Great said, "Why were you throwing that guy gold coins? Surely a couple of copper coins, you know, would have sufficed for him." Alexander responded in royal fashion, "Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving." We have the opportunity to be generous. And finally, if you want to move right into this area of employment and our work, it's possible to glorify God in our work. We can glorify Him. We can impact others within our work. And it's really in this number 6 and 7 that this is the job that I have that God has given me. And I can leverage my job. I can leverage it for kingdom power and authority and purposes, as opposed to just being, show me the money. So what's driving us? You know, if you take a look at these 7 steps, what is on the bottom of the scale? The first one is this. Go ahead. I worked hard on this slide. The first one is this. It's paycheck driven. Why do I work? I work for a paycheck. That's all I do. I work, I get a paycheck, I support my family, that's it. The second one says this. You know what? I work because I'm passionate about something. I'm passionate for a standard of living. I'm passionate for something significant and meaningful to me. The next one is this. It's philanthropy driven. It's like what really drives me is the idea that I can give away. I work so I can give. I get great joy in being able to give. And the last one is this. It's purpose driven. Oh, it's gone already. The last one is purpose driven. I work because there's purpose in what I do. I glorify God in what I do. You know that the Bible actually affirms. You see, it's not like one is bad and 7 is utopia. It's like all 7. There's value and significance in all 7. Do you think not for a family to be able to work to supply for their children is not valuable? It's incredibly important. It's incredibly valuable. But there's actually a scripture verse for each one of these steps. Let's have a quick look at them, okay? Lots of slides today. First one, very simple. It's like, you know, I work because I have to. 2 Thessalonians, straight up. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. It's true. The second one is perhaps one of the most sober passages in the Bible. This is one of the most sober passages in scripture. It says this. If anyone doesn't take care of his own relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the Christian faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yikes. That's in the Bible? That doesn't fit into kind of nice New Testament, you know, packaging, does it? That's straight up. On to the next. To meet a certain standard of living. I like this in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, wisest guy who's ever lived, it's a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. Isn't that good? You know, there can be this thing where it's like, oh man, you know, it's not God's will for me to make any money. I don't think so. Enjoy it. Live it. It's a gift that he has given to you. Enjoy that. On to the next. To accomplish something meaningful. There is nothing better for people to do than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their work. I saw that even this comes from the hand of God. On to the next. Serving others. Peter writes this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You know, this is so significant. There are people here who are so talented in this room. You are of great, great talent. Use those gifts every day on your job site, wherever that is, or in your school, or wherever it is. Use your gifts to serve one another. And finally, earn money. Use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. And finally, that you want to glorify God in your work. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So the Bible affirms all of these. And here's the idea, and that is, Isaac, you can put that slide back up with the seven, with all seven there. Can you get that back up there? There it comes. Here's the idea. When you look at this, and when you look at your life and your working life, and I know that we're coming from a real, different, broad perspective right now, but when you look at these things, it's not a matter of, does seven exist in my life? The idea is this, how many of these exist in your life? How many of these you can say, yeah, that's part of the motivation. That's part of the value that I have in work. Because here's the idea. The more of these values that are present, the more of them that are present, the more motivated we will be in our jobs. The more of these values that are present, the better perspective we will have about our job. And the more values of these that are present, the more success that a person has in experiencing happiness and being personally fulfilled. What do people want in their work? What is it that they're looking for? We have a slide for that too. I got a slide for everything. I've worked hard on my slides. Every person wants success when they get up and they go to work, or if you're a student or whatever that is. If you're a mom at home, it's like, which is real work, by the way. That is work. Ask Andrew Bannman. But you cannot tell me that every single person who gets up and goes about their day is not looking to be successful, is not looking to say, I'm doing well, and I'm feeling like what's happening is rewarding for me. Recognition, let me just say this real quick, and that is, they did a survey and they asked people, they said, what is it that you most value in your job? And then they took that survey and they gave it to management, they gave it to managers, and they said, what do you think your employees are going to say that's the most valuable thing? They wrote down, the managers wrote down money. That would be the most valuable thing. And money was on the list, it was number three. The manager, or the employees though, said, what's most important to me, more than any other thing, is recognition. To know that when I go about and I'm doing my job and I'm doing it well, that somebody will come along and say, hey, you're doing a great job. Well done. Good job. Recognition. Whether it be fit. We need the right fit. More on that in just a moment. Of course, pay is important and part of a community, and this hard one at the end, this idea of balance, right? This idea of how do I balance work and family? Really hard for young men, right? Because they want to get ahead. They're very driven. And sometimes things can get out of kilter that way. But let me just speak into this in closing, and we're out of here. And that is this. When it comes to work, can I suggest that there are higher needs in this? We've heard this before about the higher perspective of work, the three bricklayers. We know that one, right? Bricklayer number one, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just building a wall, man. You know, number two, it's like, we're building a building. I know that we're building something here. What are you doing? I am building a cathedral to host the very presence of God. This is amazing. Guys who are construction, it's like, what are you doing? You swinging a hammer or are you building a home where a family will reside, where children will be born, where laughter will take place, where life will happen? Which one is it? It's all based on perspective, isn't it? What about a courageous perspective when it comes to work? Do you know that there are some people here that need to take a courageous step as it relates to work? There are some who have said, I have life in what I'm doing somewhat, but I need to go to another level. I was talking with, Sandy, she said I could share this. I was talking with Sandy Lockhart this week, and for her husband, Tim, he was doing those things. He was earning money. He was providing for the family. He, you know, there's very little, but as the years went by, less and less and less life. They wanted to jump. They knew that there was something more that God had for them, but they couldn't quite get there until then, out of that place, the work starts to dry up. And in that place of the work drying up, gave Tim and Sandy you know what? We need to go for that higher thing. And that's what they did. They took the leap, and Tim went back to school. He's back in university. Soon as they took that leap, it was like things just started to unlock for them, right? Things, Sandy got, you know, this job, and things just started happening. Now, for some, it's this. For some of you, are in that place where you know what? I need to take the leap. And, you need to, in consultation with your spouse and with your family and friends, the trusted ones, and pray, you need to do that. Others, and I might even say the majority, it's, you know what? I need a new perspective in the very thing that I'm doing. I need to check my attitude when I walk through the door at work, and I need to recognize that it's more than just a job to earn money. It's more than just a provision for the family. What I can do every day is impact lives, impact people, and have a higher calling in the very thing that I'm doing. Which one are you? Where's the place that you're at? I don't know. Priesthood of all believers, man. You got to figure that out. You need to work that through. Last thought here, and that is this. It's this idea of, in your current job, is it possible for you to have a more purposeful interaction? The only aspect of your work that has eternal shelf life is the people that you work with and the relationships that you foster. Now, people acquire great skill. They can become a master tradesman. That's wonderful. They can write deals that make them thousands and even millions. That's good too. That's all right. You can make all the money you want, but in the end, it's those relationships and connections that you make with people that actually surpass all of those things and are of eternal value. And so when we talk about identity and destiny, we need to know that God is very interested in our work. He's very interested in what you do, and He wants to meet you right in your work and on your job. That's time. Your work matters to God. Let's stand together.
I just felt for the transition from the message to the end of the service. I felt like the Holy Spirit highlighted the word promotion. And there were three things regarding promotion. One was, I felt like He was actually going to promote people. There were some of you that in your jobs, you were going to receive a promotion. The second thing that there's weight on is, in your job, God is going to give you more influence with your coworkers. Maybe there's somebody in particular that is really grinding you, that you God is going to give you grace for and words to speak. And then the last part was self-promotion. And it's not in from a humanistic point of view. It is, you are a son or a daughter, and you what I feel like the Lord is wanting to do is to give you that confidence so that you can promote yourself into that job or that sphere that is waiting for you. And I'll just read one verse. It's the prayer of Jabez that it was popular, I don't know, a decade or so, or maybe longer ago. It's from 1 Chronicles 4:16. And I'm going to read it and pray that for you. So it says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And this is perhaps my favorite part. It says, and God granted his request. And so let's pray. If that is an area that you feel like, oh, your heart starts pounding, or you know that it's promotion in a job, promotion of influence among your peers at work, or you are needing to do some promotion, that you need that confidence, that pat on the back from the Lord that just says, like the Father that says, okay, you can do this, you've got this, that the Lord is going to release. And this prayer, when we pray that, when Jabez prayed that, it seems like, wow, that's so selfish, but it is not. It's our assignment on earth to bring heaven. And if we spend so much time at work, where if we're at home or in another place, that we want to do all that God has planned for us. And so we join our hearts today, Father, with yours. And you would lead us, Holy Spirit, and guide us into these new areas that you are bringing us into. And we thank you, Father, that you hear us and that you grant us this request. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So be blessed today. Take the day off. Tomorrow you're back to work. And go with a new perspective that God loves your work. He's into your work, and he wants to bless you in and through your job. Have a great afternoon.